be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome, friends. This is Reformation Sunday, the one service in the year that you can be sectarian. That was supposed to be a joke. Well, welcome. It is good that we are all here together, and together we will experience God in word, sacrament, and in the presence of each other. And because it is Reformation Day, we just want to draw your attention to our bulletin, and we have our high setting for liturgy. So there are a few differences from last week, and we'll be chanting a lot this Sunday. So welcome, and let us begin worship with the words printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
During the lifetime of Martin Luther, congregational singing was prohibited during worship services. Only priests, clergy, and liturgically trained parishioners sang during the service. It was thought that congregational singing was bawdry and inappropriate during Sunday services. Martin Luther said no to this tradition. Singing is a wonderful way to teach the scriptures by adding musical score to the lyrics and inviting the congregation to participate. Today we honor the religious freedom of singing hymns and liturgy provided as a result of Martin Luther's Reformation. We sing to open our service today what is arguably the most famous hymn written, which is among many, by Martin Luther, A Mighty Fortress. I'll begin by singing the first verse in German and then ask all of you to join in and sing the following four verses in English. We will be singing the verses as printed on page 504. I know it says 505 in the bulletin, but there are actually three pages devoted to this hymn. So follow the words and the music in 504 after I sing the first verse in German. And don't worry about the words. Just be reminded that throughout the world today, hundreds of thousands of Lutherans and millions more Christians will be singing this same hymn with us. So, Dr. Luther, this one's for you.
Amen.
the Holy Trinity, one God, our Maker, our Helper, and our Keeper.
Amen.
Trusting in God's mercy, let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Merciful and loving God,
we are your stiff-necked people. We trample on the needy. We grumble about your grace to others. We turn away from the poor. Have mercy on us and forgive our sins. Rejoice over us as ones who were lost and have been found. Amen.
Even when we are faithless, God remains faithful. Jesus Christ came into the world to send sinners. You who were lost have been found. In the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. From above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to believe all about. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and
be with you all.
And also with you.
We thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial. Defend them against all enemies of the gospel. And bestow on the church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And now we invite our children forward for our children's message. Well, what is today, friends? Well, I should have, excuse me. Let's start over. How are you guys doing today? Yes. Are you excited about Halloween?
Yes.
Coming up?
Yeah.
Yeah, since it's possible. Pastor told me to
know what you're like.
Well, what is today in the church? It's Reformation Sunday. So this is the day we remember that this guy by the name of Martin Luther couldn't hear the gospel with all the noise going on and wanted to say, hey, there are some corrections that need to be made. And so instead of dressing up like a goblin for Halloween, he decided to go to the door of the church and nail what he thought was wrong with the world. Or with the church. And one thing I really am adamant about in my own personal life is in order to really understand something, you've got to do it. So friends, let's nail some things up. Hold this for a second. You want to hold some nails? There you go. Charlie, this is going to be really fun for you. All right, come this way, folks. I happen to have a door that we weren't using. All right, well, this is going to be really fun for you now, Charlie. All right, well, he had a list of things that he didn't think were right, and they called the 95 theses, and if you've ever tried to read them, they're pretty gold. So what I've done is I have re-paraphrased them. Hold this for a second. My nail. All right, here we go. Let's hope this works. Right, here we go. So he took his list of things and he nailed them to the church door. Yes, now I have a question for you all.
Yes.
Does one of these really speak to you? Like, Jesus loves us freely and you don't have to earn it? Okay, here's your turn. Give me the nails. Watch your thumbs. Okay. Have you nailed something before? Okay. Nice and gentle. Just don't hit the thumb. Whoop. God's forgiveness is a gift, not something we buy. Does that speak to you? Or do you want another? Okay. Jesus is the head of the church, not any one person. No. When God makes mistakes, God helps us start over. You like that one? Okay, here we go. Same rule. Be really careful with the thumb. Just pound. Pound gently. Charlie, you're next, buddy. Go. Now, friends, you've got to do it to learn about it. So after the service, this will be out front, and we have all of our prayer phrases. We invite you to the discipline of looking through this list. I don't have 95 of them. I tried to compel them all, but there's like 15 of them. We invite you to find one that really speaks to you and nail it onto the door, which will be out. So let us thank God for these days that we always need to be reminded by someone of the gospel. So let us, on the count of three, bring our hands together. Except for... All right, one, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for people.
Thank you for people.
Who remind us of that.
Who reminds us of that.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I always have to follow the toughest acts of the children and the choir, but I'll do my best. Our first reading today is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. Hear now the word. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Holy wisdom, holy word.
We will be singing the psalm this morning as printed on page 6 of your bulletin. We'll do it responsively. I'll begin with the light print. Please respond by singing congregationally, as Martin Luther would have loved, by singing the bold or the dark print. Psalm 46. City, it shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day.
The nations rage and the kingdoms shake. God speaks and the earth melts away.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now, regard the works of the Lord. What desolations God has brought upon the earth.
Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world. Who breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire.
Be still then and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3. Hear now the word. Now we know that whatever the law says, It speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human will be justified before him by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over the sins previously committed. It was so to demonstrate at the present time his own righteousness, so that he is righteous and he justifies the one who has faith, who has the faith of Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. Through what kind of law? That of works? No, rather through the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, happy Reformation Day, friends. Our text reminds us of freedom. And that is really a more complicated word than we tend to think. And it reminds me of one of the great, great, wonderful benefits of being a state correctional officer in a state prison. Well, at least for some, it was the great benefit, was that there was always, always, always a shortage of correctional officers. Which meant that if you wanted to, and it was a job unlike any other job that I know of in this regard, you could literally have an unlimited amount of income. All you had to do was work some overtime, which was always there. Now, and I knew people who did this. You could work five shifts on your normal 5 days, and then four shifts on your weekend. So you would really quadruple your regular pay in a given work week. Which meant that even the starting person, the person for first day there as an entry-level position, could end up at the end of the year with a six-figure income. I don't know any other job where you can do that. It promised absolute financial freedom. And yet, there was a shadow side for that. Because if you wanted to work it, do you have that freedom now? That freedom to buy that house that is beyond your means. You have the freedom to get that boat that you've always dreamed about. You have the freedom to get that nice sports car that you've always dreamed of. And you can park that big boat in your big garage next to your big sports car in your big house. But then suddenly, you weren't so free anymore to work that overtime. That overtime now became compulsory. You had the big house, the big car, the big boat, but you spent all your time in the prison. And we actually had a name for this. We called this the golden handcuffs. Because you were now bound there. And after working all those hours at the same place, you quickly realized that you actually didn't like being there. However, there was no other entry-level job and make a six-digit income in a year. And so the prison literally became your prison. Those golden handcuffs bound you. And that, my friends, maybe is what Jesus is talking about today. If the Son sets you free, you will be free. Underneath that lurk is this truth that I've tried to explain. There is a far greater bondage that we find ourselves in this world, and that is the bondage to sin and death. It is more captivating than any of our choices. The prison of the mind is a far greater prison than any prison bars or walls out there. We are held bondage to something. And so the question of freedom, when Christ says you have been set free, is a question that we must ask ourselves, which has two aspects. What are you free from? And what are you free to do? What are you free from? What are you free for? Freedom requires both of those questions be answered. And Jesus is speaking in the temple on what we call the Feast of Booths. And I know it's hard to see this because we only get this passage this one time, once a year, and we don't get the whole passage. But it's the Feast of Booths, and that is the festival remembering the Exodus, the wandering in the wilderness. And you all know that story, right? You've seen the movie, correct? How many had a family tradition of watching the Ten Commandments once a year at Easter? A few. Yes, we know the story. Moses goes down to Egypt and says, "Let my people free." The people go free into the wilderness. And a freedom unrestrained leads to chaos. And so what you need to control freedom is a law. So Moses goes up on the mountain, gets the Ten Commandments, and we think the climax of that story is the rules to regulate. That is why the movie about the Exodus is called the Ten Commandments. As we think, the main point of that story is the law. Now let me remind you all what Moses actually says when he goes to see Pharaoh. He says, "Let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness." The point of that whole story is a freedom to come and encounter God in the wilderness. The story does not reach its climactic moment when Moses goes up on the mountain. The story reaches its climactic moment when they build this tented tent temple in the wilderness. And God descends on that tent in a fire by night, in a cloud of smoke by the day. The climactic point is that God is now present with the people. It is that encounter of the presence of God that brings true freedom. And you see, the argument Jesus is making here is that tent, that presence of God in the wilderness that was with the people, that showed the intent of God to be present with the people, is now present in the temple of Christ's body. The Son sets you free. You will be free. We are free to encounter the presence of God. Because the truth is, if we look in ourselves, just at ourselves, we will find that we are held in bondage to the power of sin and death within us. Luther would say, sin is the heart turned in on itself. Our theologians, like Paul Tillich, would say that sin is ultimately idolatry, which is when we elevate anything other than God to be the most important thing in our life. And all these things hold us bondage until the Son comes and sets us free. And this, friends, is what I think Augustine means. And I quote this a lot, but he says, the heart is restless until it finds its rest in me. We are only truly free when we find what it is that our heart truly needs to rest in, which is God's presence with us. And this, friends, I think is really the story of the Reformation. You all know the story. Martin Luther, the priest, the monk, the legend, the scholar. He was unable to hear the truth of this in the noise of his medieval landscape and the noise of a church that was corrupt and wanted to raise money by selling some forgiveness of sins. And he wasn't able to hear the gospel until one day, in his geeky sort of scholarly way, he discovered it again, or rediscovered it, or it just became clear to him. And it, you can scour all his works, his 95 theses. I encourage you to read it. It's a really exciting read. But I'll distill it all for you, really simply. He came to the realization that on this table is the body of Christ. The presence of Christ that dwelled with the nation in the wilderness, the presence of God incarnated in the flesh of Jesus was right here. And that presence, that gift, that grace is given to you. It is given to you. It is not earned. You don't have to strive to come and climb up to heaven. You don't have an entry ticket you have to pay the price tag for, whether it's by good deeds or by actual check that you write to this church. This body of God is given for you. All you can do is receive it. And it is the receiving power of the love of God which sets us free. So we know what we've been set free from. Now the question, what are we set free for? And Luther wrote a book called The Freedom of a Christian. And he quotes, and it's a commentary on the passage of Paul, but he starts this book with a paradox. A Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. Friends, we have been set free of earning our way to heaven, of earning our way to the love of God. And we are set free for one purpose, to love God and to love the world. Our freedom is so that we may love. We love not because we are earning our way to heaven, because we have first been loved by God. So friends, this is the meaning of Reformation for us. In the long history of our lives, we go astray sometimes, and we need someone to remind us of the truth. And the truth is this. You are a beloved child of God, set free of becoming to just be. And now in that freedom, we are called to love one another. Amen.
Thank you.
in God's everlasting grace. Let us pray for the church, the world, and all creation. Free your church, O God, with grace, mercy, and love, to be transformed by your word. Direct your church to be united in word and deed, so that all creation knows the uniting and transforming power of the gospel. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Renew creation, O God, so that all living creatures thrive together. Guide those who work to restore and renew creation. Preserve and care for endangered species throughout the world. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Bring peace among the nations, O God, so violence and terror are not the norm on your earth. Inspire leaders of communities to work for peace and justice. Unite our politicians with a common mission and purpose. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
Heal all who suffer, O God, and bring them peace. Draw near to people who are incarcerated. Give hope to people experiencing housing or employment insecurity, oppression, or discrimination. Heal those who are ill. We especially pray for Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Dan, Paul, Mike, Kenneth, Tracy, Emma, Catalina Neva, and her parents and grandparents, Eric, Ed, Meredith, Bennett, Tony, David, Steve, and Kathy, and for immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. We pray for victims of war and violence, and for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world. We also pray, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Be our stronghold at all times, God of grace. Forgive us our sins, O God, and grant us your grace. Move us to understanding and reconciliation between people of other faiths and other Christian traditions in our community. Mend hurt feelings and heal wounds we have caused one another. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We give you thanks, O God, for the life and witness of all your saints. Give us hope in your Son's victory through the cross. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
We offer our prayers, O God, trusting in your everlasting grace and mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around us. Thank you. invite us to come back together now, and please stand for our offering. Do this for the remembrance of me. And again, again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering therefore his command, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and the Holy Spirit, to bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that all who share in the blood and body of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and may be formed to live as your holy people. To you, blessed Trinity, be all honor and glory in your holy church now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Gathered together in the Holy Spirit, let us pray as our Savior taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil.
The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours,
now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people of God, and all are invited forward to receive at this table. It is also the last Sunday of the month, so it's also, we do this in conjunction with our healing service, and Deaconess Sabina will be in the back by our baptismal font to anoint anyone with prayers and oil if you so choose. In a moment, the ushers will come forward, and we ask you to fill in our communion rail from right to left, and all who come forward will receive, and all means all, which means all, which means all. And after you're coming forward, and we're going to sheet four, find your way back at the baptismal font if you wish prayers and anointing for them. The table is here for all. Just come with your hands extended, and you receive the sacraments in your hands, and then reach in and either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. If you wish to come only for a blessing, come with your arms folded, and a prayer will be said for you. But this table is for all, and all are invited. Amen.